Let us all say amen. Amen. I don't know about you, but I know one day I'm going to stand before his judgment seat. And one day I'm going to give an account for everything I've done in this body. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and round about verse number 10, whether it be good or whether it be bad, we're going to stand before his judgment seat. But I like verse number 11 in that text because verse number 11 says, therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. So my job, my responsibility is to persuade someone out of darkness into a marvelous light. In John chapter 6 there, Jesus said some words that caused his disciples to have some serious issues with him. John chapter 6 and round about verse 60 and following, Jesus said, unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no life in you. The Bible said, many of his disciples said, this is a hard saying. Who can bear it? The Bible said, many of his disciples turned and walked no more with Jesus. But Jesus turned to the 12 and said, you guys want to go too? I'll paraphrase it, but you go back and read it. Peter says, Lord, to whom shall we go to? You have the words of eternal life, and we are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of a living God. And search, that's what motivates me, to know that God sent the very best of heaven for me, that I don't have to die in my sin. Boy, that excites me, to know that the God of heaven said, I'll be with you when everybody else turned their back on you. I'll be with you even beyond the grave. Amen. That's why Paul would say to the church, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and round about verse number 57, he says, thanks be to God that gives us the victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if you back up to round about verse number 51 in that same text, he says, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in the moment, in the twink of the eye. For the trumpet shall sound and the dead in Christ shall rise incorruptible. And those of us who are alive and remain will be caught up in the heavens with him. Boy, if that don't excite you, I can't help you. You know, you get excited about everything else. You ought to be excited that you're part of the body of Christ. The ones that have the right to the tree of life. But see, you can't get excited about this unless you're doing something. Amen. Amen. And we're going to be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is our theme really for the year, where Paul talks about an ambassador for Christ. And church, we are ambassadors for Christ if we understand who has called us. We've been called out of darkness to a marvelous light. And Paul would say in Ephesians chapter 4 and round about verse number 1, walk worthy of your calling. Let that sink in. How worthy do we walk when it's time to do kingdom business? Or do we put it on the back row like we put everything else? I just stopped by this morning to show you that if we're going to be the true ambassadors of Christ, there are some things that we're going to have to do. Title of the lesson this morning is the three S's of an ambassador. Three S's of the ambassador. And I want to show you from this text that as ambassadors of Christ, there's something special about each and every one of us. And what's so special about us is that you can see Christ in us. You'll understand Christ by the lifestyle we live. And then the words that we talk to you will be words that will help you out of darkness into a marvelous light. The three S's of an ambassador. First of all, he steps out. Oh, yeah. He steps out. And then you know what else he does? He stands out. And you know what else he does? He's ready to suffer for the cause of Christ. I'm going to deal with these three issues because somewhere down the line, as ambassadors of Christ, we have to understand who we are. A true ambassador understands that he has been called for a reason. He doesn't dress like me. A true ambassador might have on a robe that is stained, that might be dirty, might have some blood on it. Because, see, a true ambassador is one that is ready to go into battle for his master. See, when you talk about an ambassador that goes overseas, yeah, you see them on TV. They look all good and they speak. No, a true ambassador for Christ understands that when he steps out, they might put him out. Amen. A true ambassador for Christ understands when he stands out, he might lose a few people in the process. And then a true ambassador understands that he is ready to suffer for the cause of Christ. Isn't that what you said?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Y'all didn't read the fine print, I guess. When you went in a watery grave, you told God, I'm ready to stand out, step out, and I'm ready to suffer for you.
Amen.
You didn't understand that, did you? And I understand, because what I'm doing is I'm challenging each and every one of us. We're only a month and almost a half a month into 2019.
Wow.
What you been doing? Hmm? How much time did you give the Lord? This ain't part of the lesson. This ain't going to cost you nothing either. Huh? Do you really give him what's due him? And we talk about we're blessed beyond measures. Y'all quiet. I understand. It's already been by my toes. You just getting the residual effect of what's already done condemned me and caused me to repent. But if I'm down your street, you know the story. How you doing? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and round about verse number 17. Verse number 5 in 2 Corinthians 5, 7 says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. And so Paul here reminds the believer that our relationship, the things we say and do for the Lord, is not based upon you and I, but it's based upon our faith in Christ Jesus. And then in round about verse number 17 of that same text, Paul would remind the believer that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And I don't know about you. When's the last time you got something new? Hello, y'all. Hey, I'm over here. When the last time you got something new? How did you treat it? Huh? Come on, somebody talk to me this morning. Y'all scared to talk to me this morning. How did you treat it? Because, see, I know each and every one of us, when you get something new, boy, you want to tell somebody about it.
Amen.
And you want to show it off.
Amen.
Come on now. Y'all work with me this morning. I'm trying to get us to see that because I am in Christ Jesus, Paul says I'm a brand new creature. You might be looking at the old Stan, but the new Stan understands, boy, God wiped me up, cleaned me up, and put a Bible in my hand and said, now you go preach my word. See, you wouldn't do that, but I'm glad I don't have to serve you. Paul said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. And when I look at this passage of scripture, and that because I'm in Christ and Christ has forgiven me of my sins, you know what? I learned how to forgive me a long time ago. When I mess up, I've learned how to repent and get back on the right track. You know why? Because I'm a new creature. And if I understand who I am and where I belong in the kingdom, church, that's why I say it. You ought to be the most excited people in the face of the earth. We ought to be the most together people. If people have ever been, it ought to be us.
Amen.
You know why? We have the power to change lives.
Amen.
But we don't understand that the power only works when it works in us.
Amen.
Philippians chapter 2, verse number 12. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God that what? Worketh in you. God don't go to work until you get busy. God works when you start working in the kingdom. For it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's not about yours. It's about his good pleasure.
Amen.
And so Paul here says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself. And don't miss that word reconcile. I mean, y'all got some family members you ain't reconciled to.
Amen.
Huh? I mean, y'all got some friends you ain't been reconciled to.
Amen.
You know, your next door neighbor. How many of y'all got some enemies that you need to?
Amen.
Interesting wall. Oh, yeah. Because you need to understand something. God reconciled you back to his Father.
Amen.
Anybody you can't forgive?
Nope.
Anything you. Amen. Y'all, I only got one. Somewhere down the line. We have to understand who we are. If we're going to reconcile the world back to God, we first and foremost need to be reconciled to one another.
Amen.
Remember Jesus said, if your brother sinned against you, you got all against him, leave your gift at the altar. Do what, Jesus? Go be reconciled to your brother.
See, I'm learning that reconciliation is not for the other person. It's for me. Forgiveness is not for the other person. It's for me. Because I'm learning that if I can forgive and move forward, guess what? The glory of God rests upon me. You're the one with the problem. I've learned that. I learned a long time ago. You mad at somebody? I ain't even telling you. That person gone to sleep and you still worried about him. Oh, I've learned a long time ago. And so Paul here reminds the believer that we've been reconciled. Verse number 18, he says, and all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and have given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to which that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses or their sins unto them, and have committed unto us the words of reconciliation. See, in order for you to understand your ambassadorship, you got to understand where you came from. We all came out of the cesspools of immorality. Amen. You can sit here and act like you holier than thou if you want to. No, each and every one of us, and you're looking at me funny, Romans chapter 3 and verse number 23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But thanks be to God, he gave me a victory. You know how he gave it to me? When I obeyed in that watery grave, he washed away my sins. He says, your sins and iniquity, I will remember them no more. And guess what? I've learned to forget them too. Amen. Amen. You know how y'all keep pulling up stuff and it makes you depressed, it brings you down. No, 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 no. If he forgave me, yes, I learned to forgive myself. And you know what? Life is beautiful. Yeah. Got a penny and a nail in my pocket and you can't tell me I ain't rich. Because my richness don't come from the things I possess. My richness come knowing that the God of heaven gave me something that'll help me on this time side of life. John chapter 16 and round about verse 13, Jesus says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, shall come, it'll guide you into all truth. It will not speak of itself, but it will reveal to you the things that he said. And God left him with me. Amen. Amen. You can have him too. If you understand what went in the watery. Amen. Acts chapter 2 and round about verse number 36. When Peter stood before this hostile crowd and he told the hostile crowd, let all the house of Israel stand assuredly that this same Jesus whom you crucified, God has made him both Lord and Christ. They said when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said, repent. Be baptized. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's why I can love anybody. Amen. You know why? I got something that the world can have, but most of us don't even want it. Galatians chapter 5 and round about verse 22. For the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. See, I'm learning that when we understand what's inside of us, we can make the difference in the lives of someone else. Oh, yeah. I get excited because I know where I came from. And I know where I'm going. You may not know, but I do. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 1. For if this earthly house of this tabernacle be dissolved, Paul said, I'm not worried about it. I have a house not made with hands, eternal in the heaven. And then Jesus said, John chapter 14. Boy, don't get me going this morning. John chapter 14 and verse number 1, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there's a mansion prepared for Stan, and you can't take it from me. Boy, that makes me shout. In my Father's house, there is many mansions. If it was not so, I would have never told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare the place, Jesus said, I'm coming back for you. Church, that's what drives me. To know that no matter what transpires on this time side of life, I got a promise from God himself. That even when death knocks on my door, Luke chapter 16, he said, I'll dispatch the heavenly pallbearers to take you on into paradise. Boy, if that don't excite you, I can't help you. Somewhere down the line, we either believe it or we don't. And Jeremiah had a good lesson the other day, and if you didn't hear it, you missed it. But it's on the website, I do believe. Ambassador or an imposter? Yeah, when I heard that, I said, boy. So what are you? Are you an ambassador? Or an imposter. See, I'm learning that those two words there go hand in hand. Amen. You know, you can shuck and jive me all day long, but you can't do that to God. You can. You ever told yourself a lie?
Oh, yeah.
Huh? Yeah. Oh, I got. I'm glad. I'm gonna talk over here to the honest people. You ever told yourself a lie and turned around and believed the lie, and the lie got so good that you kept telling the lie until somebody reminded you, you lying. Oh, yeah. Somewhere down the line. Church, we rise above this. If the world is ever going to change, it's got to start with us. It got to start with every child of God understanding what you have obeyed. To be an ambassador for Christ, we must understand something about Jesus Christ. John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. We know that by heart, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Romans chapter 5, verse number 8. God demonstrated how much he loved man, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ had already died. Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13, verse 18, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. That's what excites me. I'm an it.
Hallelujah.
I'm the body of Christ.
Yes. Yeah, you
are. Satan has no say-so. Amen. Unless you give it to him. And I'm learning to put him where he belongs. And don't be like Jesus now. Remember Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. You don't want to ask Satan to get behind you. I'll let you contemplate that. Because when he get behind you, guess what? Yeah, he's going to push you. And you don't think he's going to push you to the Lord, do you? Come on. In this lesson text here, the Apostle Paul would remind us. Verse 19, he says, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the words of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. And so Paul here puts out this plea, and this plea is, understand what you have obeyed. And if you understand that, then Paul says, I beg you, I plead with you. Understand, he's reconciled you, not because you deserve it, not because you look good. No, he's reconciled you through his son that died on Calvary's cross. And now that he has reconciled you, he wants you to go out and reconcile somebody else. You know, one of the most prosperous business that I ever learned was the Amway business. Amen. Anybody understand? But yeah, some of y'all don't. The rest of y'all gone back to sleep. I'll tell you in a few minutes. You know why? Because they had a theory. Duplicate. Duplicate yourself. Wonder where they got that from. They got it right from here. Because Paul here is saying, if you've been reconciled, then your job is to reconcile someone else. Boy, we got something that'll help people out smile 24/7.
Amen.
Do we use it? We got words to encourage people, words to build people up, words that can help us stay on the right track. How often do we use it? You know? Oh, I pray for you. No, don't pray for me. Come help me. And sometimes helping me might mean to sit there and cry with me. Give me some words to encourage me. And so Paul says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you, we pray you by Christ's stead. Be ye reconciled to God. For he made him. Don't miss this. The God of heaven that don't you need you and he don't need me. The God that said, if I was hungry, I wouldn't even tell you, because the world belongs to me and the fullness thereof. So if the God of heaven don't need you and he don't need me, why would he send the very best for me? He loved us. We're made in his image. Is there anybody we can't love? Is there anybody we can't love? Anybody we can't get along with? No. No, this is some powerful stuff here, because Paul is trying to show us the very essence of God's love. The very essence that he would send the very best. No, he would send himself to reconcile old sinful man back to him. Amen. He said, for he made him to be sin for us. Let that soak in. The Bible said him when he was reviled, he reviled not. But he committed himself to him who sent him. Powerful. And so Paul here says, for he made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. Boy, if that don't motivate you somewhere down the line, I can't help you. Three steps. Three S's. Step out. Stand out. And be ready to suffer. Three S's, I believe, of an ambassador. Don't get me wrong. There's a whole lot more S's I got to add to this. I'm just going with the first three. Step out. See, in order to step out, you got to surrender. See, and that's not something we enjoy doing. No. Now, it's easy to talk this thing, but when the rubber meets the road, does it really mean anything? Step up, Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26. Jesus said, if any man desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever desire to save his life will lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, Jesus says, you'll find it. And then he raises a question. What does it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? And every time I think about this passage of scripture, it reminds me of the Twilight Zone. Because there was a guy there who wanted to be the best pool player. Some of y'all have seen this. Yeah, he wanted to be the best pool player. And what did he do? He sold his soul to be the best. Now, we understand that. How about us? Have we sold our soul to the cares of the world? Have we sold our souls to making a living and getting gain and find out that it's really not about that? Some of the ones of us that are up in age, I think we've come to realize it's not about what you possess. Amen. No, it's about where you're going to spend eternity. Amen. And some of us are so scared that we're starting to do some stuff. I'm one of them. Hey, I know. I'm like Paul. I must shortly put off this earthly tabernacle. I know that. But as long as I'm in it, I'm going to tell it just like it is. And the rest is really up to you. In the midst of trials and tribulations, we have a comforter. No matter what transpired, no matter how sick we are, we have a comforter. And that comforter says, come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you some rest. Yes, but see, you got to take my yoke and learn of me. Yes. He says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Yes. Step up, step out. Matthew chapter 5. Verses 13 and 14. Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its flavor, where then shall it be salted again? It is good then for nothing to be thrown out and trampled under the feet of men. Jesus says, you're the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. But he puts it on a candlestick, and it gives light to everyone it comes into the house. And then Jesus says, let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Step out, and then the one nobody wants to do is 1 Peter chapter 5 and round about verses 15 and 16. Powerful text, because in order to suffer for the cause of Christ, you got to have your wig on the right way. Okay.
And I'm learning that the only way you get your wig on the right way is really understand what God requires of you. Peter says, let none of you suffer as a murderer, thief, busybody, and other men's matter. But any of man suffer, let him suffer as a Christian, and let him not be ashamed. Hope and pray I've said something that'll cause us to think about who we are. And I believe that's 1 Peter chapter 4. See, that's why you got to search the scriptures. Amen. For in them you think you have eternal life, but the scriptures is about my Lord and Savior. And that's why you should just never, ever take for granted the man that speaks to you, the man that teaches the word of God, because he is a man. Thank you, sister. And he makes mistakes. That's why in Acts chapter 17, the Bible says the Bereans were no noble-minded than those in Thessalonica. Why? Because they searched the scriptures daily to make sure what was being said was in the book. What am I telling you? You need to make sure that as I preach the word of God, you just don't get caught up. See, I get caught up in emotions, but my emotions is based upon what God has done for me. And so, yeah, you're right. I get excited. I get motivated. Why? Because I believe that the scriptures here, that if I put them in my everyday life, boy, it ought to make me alive and doing the will of the Father. In the suffering of Christ, as God's people, we must understand the power that we have when we really suffer for the cause of Christ. And in Acts chapter 3, when John and Peter stood before those rulers and they had healed the lame man, it stirred up all of the folks to where some came to the Lord, but the Pharisees and them Sadducees became very upset because now they are preaching Jesus, they've healed the lame man, and they said to themselves, if we don't do something about this, they're going to spread this whole doctrine. You better read your Bible. Right. What am I saying? When you and I get busy seeking and saving the lost, Apple Valley don't stand a chance. Yeah. We'll change everything we come in contact with. Why? Because we have the power of God. But the Bible says in Acts chapter 4, and I want you to real quickly listen to what I'm going to read. The Bible says in verse number 1 of Acts chapter 4, and as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection of the dead. You need to understand what's going on here. The Sadducees and the Pharisees were two religious sects. The Pharisees believed in the resurrection of the dead. The Sadducees, we got any sad? The Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. And so therefore, they are divided even though they're in the temple. But when Jesus comes on the scene, these individuals no longer are divided, but they come together. You know why? Because now their political power is being taken away. Now their economical power is being taken away. And now you're going to tell them to believe in this Jesus who we just crucified, that he is the Savior. And you no longer greet me as Rabbi. read your Bible. You no longer greet me as Rabbi. Now you greet me as brother. You greet me as sister. Powerful text. But the Bible says they come together. Why? Because something is going on. Verse number 3. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day. And it was now about evening. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believe, and the number of the men were about 5,000. Powerful. This is the infancy stage of the church, but they're preaching that Jesus is the Son of a living God, that he came and he died on a cross, and you can be saved from your sin if you obey what he commands. Yes. And what he commands in order for you to be saved is to believe that I am, yes, the Son of a living God. That I came to reconcile men back to the Father and then be willing to go into the watery grave of baptism, and I will add you to the church, which is my body. Amen. That's what my Bible teach. Yes. And so now they're upset
because they done took away all of their power. Verse number 5 said, and it came to pass on tomorrow that they, the rulers and the elders and the scribe, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many of her kindred of the high priest were gathered together. You see, they want to see a show.
That's right.
I don't have time. But as they bring them in there, they raise a question. By what authority or what power or by whose name are you doing what you're doing? Yeah, you know, when you start living for Jesus Christ, I've learned that even in your own household, man, who you think you are? I'm a child of God. Who do you think you are? See, and I'm learning somewhere down the line, we got to ask one another, brother, where you been? Well, you ain't been to see me. Well, you ain't been to call me. Okay. You see how we put blame? No, brother, forgive me. Why? Because that's how believers are supposed to be.
Amen.
But the Bible says they threaten them. They beat them. And then as they get ready to let them go, verse 13 says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus.
Amen.
Church, can somebody look at you and say that you are Jesus, that you've been with the Lord? I want to encourage your hearts. If there's ever been a time for us to step up and step out, look at the world in which we live in. If there's ever been a time for you and I to understand the power that God has given us, and that power is in His Son, in His Word, to help men back from darkness to a marvelous light. And I want to encourage us all to stop and think about, if he was to call right now, what would he say to you? Would it be, well done, thou good, thou faithful servant? Or would it be, depart? It's not that I don't know you. I never knew you. Peter would say these words to the believer as I close. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 1. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself with the likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh have ceased from sin. That's pretty powerful. That tells me that if we do things God's way, church, we won't have to worry about anything on this time side of life. And as I close, I want to leave you with this passage of scripture. If we are ambassadors for Christ, we are stepping up, we are standing out, and we're willing to suffer. And that suffering that we have for Jesus Christ brings glory and honor to the Father, and it gives us joy to know that He counted us worthy. Let me show you. 1 Peter chapter 4 and round about verse number 13. Peter says, rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceedingly joy. In the book of Acts, they said they counted it worthy to suffer for the cause of Christ. How about that? How do we think about that? Do we count it worthy when we are suffering for the cause of Christ? And I'm learning that just because you suffer don't mean you're suffering for His cause. Oh, yeah. When you suffer for the cause of Christ, you'll know it. And I want to encourage us all. We are ambassadors for Christ. And as you look at that sign over there, it tells us that as ambassadors, there's a whole lot of things that we are. And I'm going to be dealing with them one at a time, a royal priesthood. Amen. You didn't know you were royalty? Well, I just stopped by this morning to tell you that you're royalty, church. And if you're royalty, you ought to act. You ought to act like royalty, not the royalty of the world. I better drop that in because, you know, they got some problem. But royalty as children of the Most High God. And when I talk about royalty, the most loving, the most kind, the most motivating individuals on the face of the earth. Hope I've said something just to encourage your heart, church.
Amen.
We are ambassadors of Christ. And the Bible says, though God was pleased with him, that we might be the righteousness of God. Those of us who are members of the body of Christ, a couple months have gone by. And those of you that have stepped up to the plate, I just want to encourage you to keep stepping up. Because if the world is going to change, it has to begin with us. If the world's going to see what love is all about, it's got to begin with us. And if the world is going to ever make some changes, you and I ought to be speaking as one voice. Amen. And I'm learning how to do that. I got to get out of the way, and I got to let God motivate me and drive me. Those of you that are visiting that may not be part of the body of Christ, I want to encourage you. You've heard the word of God this morning. The question is, do you believe what I said? In John chapter 20 and round about verse number 30, the Bible says many other signs were done in the presence of his disciples. They're not written in the book. But these are written that you might believe and have everlasting life. I don't need another revelation. I don't need nobody to tell me anything else. It's in the book. And I'm learning that when you stay with the book, you won't have to need. You don't need anything else. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. For without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And what that does through our belief, through our faith, that Jesus is the Son of God. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, 25 says, the law was a schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. But when Christ come, we're no longer under the schoolmaster. Verse 26 says, we're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. But as many of us that are baptized into Christ have put on Christ. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, there's an antitype that saves us now, namely baptism. Not the washing of the filth of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience to God. And you know what? He didn't leave it to you and I to say where you're going to go. Right. Henry dealt with that this morning. There is but one body, and that's the body of Christ. Yeah. Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 18, he adds you to the body of Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22, the body is the church is the body. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, he is the head of the body. If you're here this morning and you stand in need, let it be known as together we stand and sing.